From the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in a boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When Jesus disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we see how hard Jesus and the apostles would work and how difficult it was for them to rest. As they came back exhausted so that he could care for them, he took them away in a boat heading toward a deserted place. Here, St. Mark doesn't give us geographical indications, but elsewhere the evangelists do. They were going across the top of the Sea of Galilee for what would be 4 miles across at that point to a deserted place. If you were to walk along the top of the Sea of Galilee, it would take about 10 miles. But people, seeing the direction at which they were going, started to come from everywhere. By the time they arrived at that deserted place, it wasn't deserted, but people had come from all the towns waiting for them there. And as soon as Jesus saw those crowds, he didn't turn the boat around. He didn't just say, "Hey, we're going to need a few hours to rest and then I'll minister to you." His heart exploded with pity for them, for they were shepherdless and were looking for guidance. And he began to teach them many things. The Lord's mercy was expressed in his teaching and his guiding and his helping. That's what today's theme really is, if you want to find the most noteworthy one in the readings. Solomon in the first reading, he was 18 when he succeeded his father David, and he was wise enough to quote Socrates eventually to know that he didn't know what he didn't know. Imagine going into even Regis High School or Sacred Heart Academy and finding the president of the senior class or even the valedictorian, and making that person president of the United States. Would you be confident with all the challenges? Solomon was 18, and he was being placed in charge of ruling this vast people that hadn't really been ruled for a long time by that point. So he went up to a place, remember, he would build the temple. So he went up to the highest peak around and sacrificed not an animal, which was customary whenever you'd assume a new responsibility, petitioning God's help. He knew how much he needed God's help, and he sacrificed 1,000. There, God appeared to him in a dream that night and asked him what he would like. Solomon already showed that he had the right orientation. Could have asked for lots of childish things. But instead he asked not for an understanding head, because he recognized that wisdom was far more than a cerebral thing. He asked for an understanding heart, so that he could really love God in loving his wisdom, and love others in applying that truth. And God was extraordinarily pleased with that request. Said he would make him the wisest who had ever lived or who would come thereafter, and he would give him so many other things besides. When we come to the Lord always says, "What do you want that I do for you?" How wise we are when we pray the same thing. we in fact did today. Lord, teach me your statutes, we prayed 7 times. How shall the young man, a man like Solomon, young person like any of us, be faultless? The answer is by keeping your words. And then we prayed, with all my heart I seek you, let me not stray. Within my heart I treasure your promise, that I may not sin. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I want to declare the ordinances of your mouth. In the way of your decrees, meaning walking in your truth, I rejoice as in all riches. To be able to live a moral life is worth more than all the money on the planet. That's what we have prayed for too. God seeks to give it to us. We're celebrating a votive mass of Mary, seat of wisdom, that her womb had become the throne of wisdom and flesh, as we prayed at the beginning of this mass. She showed us 4 years younger than Solomon what real wisdom looks like, not just in her capacity to say yes to God, despite the challenges, but in what burst forth from her contemplative heart at 14, a few days later in a Magnificat, which she, having pondered all of the great ejaculations of the heroines of the Old Testament, weaved them together and applied them to herself. The Lord indeed fills the hungry with good things, and those who are hungry for his ways, for his truth, for his wisdom, will receive that gift. Today the Church celebrates the feast of St. Josephine Baquita, one of the most endearing saints of modern times. I was present for her canonization, and she was beatified together with St. Jose Maria Escrivá, so I had gotten to know her even back in 1992. St. Josephine was from the Darfur region. Nobody knows exactly when she was born because no records were kept, about 1869. She does know that when she was 7, she was kidnapped by Muslim Arab traders and sold into slavery 5 times. One of her masters one day just showed up with flour, salt, and razor blades, and he made an intricate design all over her naked torso. And then, as she was bleeding in enormous pain, poured salt in those wounds so that the wounds would never heal. Over the course of time, she would receive another 30 indelible lash marks. She was maltreated the way they treated slaves at the time, as even if they promptly did what was told, they would still be beaten, just to continue the high threat. She was eventually sold to the Italian consul there in Khartoum. And when the Mahdi's were coming through to destabilize the whole political situation, she was brought with that family to Italy. Eventually, as the situation was getting better, the consul, returned to check out the situation in Khartoum and entrusted Baquita, which means fortunate, to the Canossian sisters together with their young daughter, so that the Canossian sisters could care for them until the consul would return. Pope Benedict in 2007 said that one of the things Baquita teaches us, not just about hope, but about the reaction people can have to the faith for the first time when they first discover it. The day she arrived at the Canossian convent to be cared for, the sisters took her into the chapel, and there she saw the typical Italian bloody crucifix, lash marks everywhere. And she saw an image of what had happened to her, and she recognized that Jesus could probably uniquely understand exactly the pain she remained in because of all of those wounds. She asked to know far more about him. When the sisters were very happy to comply with that desire to learn about Jesus, she began to call him my Perone, the Venetian dialect for master. She knew she had a different type of master, and a master who was not a slave owner, but a magister who would teach her the truth, and through that truth, liberate her from slavery. When the Italian consul returned, he wanted to take her with him. But the Canossian sisters, God bless them, had told her what her rights were, and so started a lawsuit to ask for her liberation. She was 18, an important number today. 18. She won the case, and she was able to stay with the Canossians. She was baptized, confirmed, made her first Holy Communion in 1990. 6 years later, she made her first vows. And for 44 years, as a Canossian sister, she taught wisdom in the schools. She had never received much of an education. She wasn't capable of absorbing a lot of the methodology necessary to teach in their schools. But as the cook, as the portress, and as something else, she had a third job, in case you're ever wondering about multitasking. She just used to be there, patting the kids on the head as they would come by and learn from her the most important lesson of all, what we prayed for at the beginning of Mass. The love that comes from God, that's where wisdom leads. She could communicate that lesson as if she had received 100 doctrines. We come here seeking that wisdom through her intercession and Our Lady's. And the Lord wishes to give it to us in a way far greater than he had given to Solomon. St. John Vianney, I was very pleased to see the statue in the sacristy of St. John Vianney. St. John Vianney used to say, if we were given exactly the same opportunity that Solomon was to ask God anything at all, we would never have dreamed to ask that God would take on our own humanity, enter in our world, be scourged with 195 lash marks, crucified, buried, and raised, so that we would be able, through his dramatic self-giving, to be able to consume his body and blood until the end of our life. But what we would have never dreamed to beg for, God has in fact done. And this is the opportunity when, after having heard God's words in response to our petition, he gives us himself, so that we too, like Mary, within, can become the throne of wisdom.